music as well as the word. He uses both of them to help us as we try to worship the Lord. Let me just make a few announcements this morning, streaming some service that we have had in the past. And we do want to encourage you to pray for our sick. You know, it's tough on everybody at this time like this, but it's really tough if you're sick. And we do want to let you know that we talked to Sister Renee, and yesterday evening Brother Mike's doing better. He's had two or three really good days, so that's a real blessing. And we got to visit with Brother Walter Wynn and Kay, and they're doing well also. Brother Randall Matthews is back in the hospital, and we want to pray for him, Sister Tony, and as well as Sister Nellie and Brother Orby. We want to remember them. Also, we ask you to pray for Brother Johnny Campbell. He'll be going in to have surgery in the morning. Has to be at the hospital early, and hospital rules at this time will not allow Sister Carlene to go with him, and it has to be by himself. And so you pray for Sister Carlene. This is really hard on her because she's been with him all these years and everything that's happened. And she can't go, but we're glad the Lord can go. The Lord be with him. But we ask you to pray for him. Also pray for our people in the church that work at the hospitals. While some places have been shut down, of course, their work is even greater. And pray for those that have to go every day to the hospitals and work, and the doctors and all of the people that's involved so closely in the medical field. And, of course, we need to pray for our leaders at this time, our president, as well as our local leaders, to pray for them. Also, we do want to encourage you to minister at this time, and even though we're not able to meet like we normally do at this present time, still able to minister. You can send out cards to people in nursing homes that their family can't get to see them right now. You can make calls, and certainly everybody can pray. And I do urge those that have children in Sunday school classes, this is a tough time for children because they really don't know, for the most part, what to expect. And they're looking to their parents and others to let them know everything's going to be all right. But you maybe can call your Sunday school class, or if you have elderly people, check on them. And I do want to say this morning that any of our elderly people that might have a need, if you will just let me know, either I'll try to help you with that need, or I'll get someone in the church to help me to help you. And we certainly want you to know that we're here for you in any way that we can possibly be here for you. This morning, of course, I remember making a statement a few weeks ago, and I said if you can't preach to one person, you don't need to preach to 100. And I'm still not down to one. I have of course, the Jolly family's here today setting, and then I have David Lowe and Tyler back in the sound booth running the equipment today. And I told Brother David and Sister Tammy and them to not think I was preaching just at them today. But he said that'd be all right, he said, if I did. I believe that the Word of God's not bound, the Bible said, and I just thank God he's made means that we are able to do this and able to broadcast the service this morning for those that are able to listen this morning. We want you this morning to turn with us to a portion of Scripture today in the book of Psalms 119 this morning, and we want to read verse 124 down through verse 130 this morning, and we want to see what God has to say this morning to us from His Word. In Psalms 119 and verse 124 down through verse 130 today, and the Bible said, "Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Father, we come to you this morning, and once again, Father, we come to call upon your name. And Lord, to ask today for thy spirit, Lord, to be upon thy servant today. And Lord, to ask the word of God to have a clarity today and free course today as it goes out, Lord, into the airwaves and, Lord, to places that only God knows where that it might go today. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we ask today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would help his people today, comfort his people today, Lord, in places where they are. And Lord, we do pray and ask that God's Spirit would be working in the church today. And even though, Lord, we're not able to assemble today, Lord, I'm glad we're still able to minister in various ways, Lord, and help people as the church. And Lord, we ask you this morning, Lord, to use us today and bless the Word of God to speak to your people today and bring comfort to them. Give us liberty and illustrative abilities and the power of God today to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as several times this week I have been asked the question, what is going on? And a lot of people is wondering today as to what is going on. Well, if you want to know anything about spiritual matters, you'll have to go to God. You'll have to go to the church to find out what's going on. In the Bible, John the Beloved is a type of the New Testament church. At the cross in John 19 and verse 26, the Bible said that there stood by the cross of Jesus that disciple whom Jesus loved. It's an unusual statement that's made in the Word of God, and it's made several times in the Word of God, in John 21 and 20, and again in verse 22, and many times John refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. So John is a type of the church. How do we get that? Well, we know that because John referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But the Bible said Christ loved the church. And so the Lord Jesus has a special love for his church. Just like John said, I'm that disciple whom Jesus loved. John was always close to the Lord. We look in John 13 when the disciples are gathered there around Jesus, and they're all there, but John has found him a spot right next to the Lord. John is leaning upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus. John can literally hear the heartbeat of the Lord. He's close to the heart of God. I'm glad to know that the church this morning is close to the heart of God. He loved it. He gave himself for it, the Bible says. He said to be there in John 21, the Bible said Peter is being told about his life and what's going to happen to him. It's very comforting to know this morning that the Lord knows exactly about our life. He don't know only where we are today, but he knows where we're going to be tomorrow. The Lord told Peter exactly how he was going to die, and we know that that became a reality. But Peter asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what about John? And it said that disciple whom Jesus loved was standing there next to the Lord. And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? I'm glad to know that John is not only a type of the Lord in that the Lord had a special love for him and that he is close to the heart of God, but John is a type of the New Testament church because that's what we're doing this morning. We're tarrying until Jesus comes. And then we find in Revelations, the Bible tells us over there in Revelations chapter number 4, we find there in the Word of God that John is there on the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible said, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a voice of a trumpet talking with me, which was saying, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter." So not only was John a type of the Lord's church in that he was tarrying, and that he was near the heart of God, and that the Lord had a special love for him, but John heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Come up hither," a type of the New Testament church that one day will be called out of this world. So in other words, if you want to know what's going on in the world spiritually, you're going to have to know something about God. You're going to have to know something about the Word of God. Now, we realize today that the Bible, God's given us the Word of God, and I am so thankful this morning to have a copy of the Word of God. I'm glad that we're not left in the dark. I'm glad, as the psalmist said, he said, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And so today the Word of God lets us know this morning what is going on. And we look here today in the Word of God, and I want to say this morning, that what is going on this morning in our world today is what the Bible told us would be going on, and the Bible said these are perilous times. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible said this, "Knowing also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." We can no longer read the Scripture like it's wrote. The Bible said this, "Knowing also that in the last days perilous time shall come." Well, we can no longer say they're going to come. They are already here. The word perilous means dangerous. And so what the Bible writer was telling us, that in the last days, that dangerous times would come. None of us can deny the fact that you and I are living today in a much more dangerous world than we lived in back a few years ago. The world has become dangerous in areas that we never thought that it would become dangerous in. You know, right now our medical field, our hospitals and our nursing homes have become dangerous places. For the first time in 40 years, I find myself at a disadvantage that I'm not able to go to the hospital and visit the members of the church that I pastor and see the people that are in the nursing homes. They have become dangerous places. We realize that this is for their benefit and this is for our benefit, but still they have become dangerous places. We know just this week in our local joining county, we know there was a man that came into the emergency room there, went through the proceedings, was checked in, given a room, and the man was sick, and he began to ask that they would give him a test for the virus, and hospital not being able to, maybe not having the equipment, they denied the man the test, and he became upset, and and outraged, and they had to call the hospital guard in there to try to calm him down. And one thing led to another, and the man began to try to get the gun away from the officer there in the room, and the gun fired and shot the nurse. We're living in dangerous times. People are becoming afraid and scared, and so that makes it even more dangerous. We certainly need to pray, as I said in the beginning. We need to pray for those that are nurses and doctors and people that have to be in places where they are dangerous. And so medically, we are living in dangerous times. We know that many are worried about the financial system at this time, with trillions of dollars being legislated to help people because of this time. People are worried that maybe what's coming is a depression, or they don't know what's going to be next, and dangerously it is a very dangerous time financially, and even religiously today it has become dangerous. Who would have ever thought that it would be dangerous to go to the house of God? Not only with this coronavirus, have our churches been shut down, our doors have been locked, and we understand that is for our good. We understand that nobody's trying to take our Bible. Nobody's trying to tell us to not witness about Jesus. Nobody's trying to tell us not to worship. Nobody is violating our first constitutional rights. We understand that this is a reasonable thing to do. But even before this, churches had become somewhat dangerous. We recently at our church in the last couple of years, we've had to start posting guard at the door. We've had thousands of dollars worth of camera systems installed so that we can watch and kind of watch out things and trust the Lord that through all of this that nothing would happen to anyone in our congregation. But what I'm saying is that it has become a dangerous time. Even in our educational system, for many years now, children have went to school to only see armed guards there and officers carrying guns. And thank God, not in our area, but in many areas, there's been more than one school shooting. And our world has become a very dangerous place. Our world is changing. What's going on? Perilous times have come. But I want to tell you right in the same chapter where the Lord told us that perilous times were coming, the Bible tells what you and I need to do. The Bible said in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What are we to do in these perilous times? We're to do what we've always done as believers and as Christians. We're to continue to trust God, to pray, to assemble for worship, to call upon the Lord as needed. What's going on? These are perilous times. Let me also say this morning, as we look in the book of 1 Peter this morning, the Bible said that the trial, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's going on? Not only perilous times have come, but people's faith is being tested. God does not tempt us to evil, but God tests us for reasons that are eternal, and these are trying times. This trying time that the Bible talks about in verse 7 there, we see from reading the Word of God that these trials are personal. These trials not only affect people outside of us, but they come to all of us in a personal way. As believers, as Christians, this time that we have entered into is a trial of my faith and your faith. The Bible says of these times like this, they are very precious, that God is doing a work in your life and mine. The Bible said the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. These trials are very precious, and they will produce something in our life as we trust the Lord. The Bible said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it might be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. These are times that we as believers, us as a people of God, that our faith is being tested. This is a personal test to each one of us, how that we will handle the trial that God has sent in our life at this time. It is personal. It is a precious thing to be tried by the Lord. And this trial is purposeful in that it will produce something in your life and my life. I want to say that all of us have been through somewhat of a trial this morning. Can I say this morning that not only is the trial personal and precious, and will it produce something, but I want to say this is a peculiar trial. The Bible said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, we may be glad also with exceeding joy." Our faith is being tried, and these trials are peculiar trials. Who would have ever thought that you or I would be going through what we're going through this morning? As children of God, God never tempts us to evil. The Bible said God is not tempted with evil, neither tempting any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. This is not the kind of trial that God is putting us through. It's more like the trial of Abraham. When the Bible said in Genesis 22, God said, "Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and offer him upon the mountain." To you and I, these are trials that try our faith. I'm just glad to know that during these trials that we can trust God. I have a question this morning for you. How have you done this week in the trial that God has sent this week to test your faith and my faith? Did you trust some promise of God? No doubt many of us have many times this week thought about the verse in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and called according unto his purpose. No doubt we've thought, thank God, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," and the Lord is with us today. Did you trust God's provision this week? Thank God that our God has promised that he will give us our daily bread. Thank God our God has promised us that we can have food and raiment, and therewith you and I need to be content. Did you trust God's protection? Thank the Lord for our living in America. Thank God if you had to be living where something like this was going on, what better place could you ever live than to live in America? We have the greatest hospitals, the greatest doctors, the greatest medical means, the greatest supply of food, the greatest supply of Red Cross and workers and Samaritan's Purse and all these things. But the bottom line is God may use those things to help me or to help you, but our faith and our trust must be in God alone, that God will meet our every need. Did you trust God to protect you this week? what's going on. People's faith is being tested. But I promise you this morning, if you'll study the book and read the book daily, you will pass the test, because all the answers are in God's book. What's going on this morning? Perilous times have come. Our precious people's faith is being tested. Then we read over in Matthew 24 this morning, the disciples, I preached from this the other day, the disciples came to the Lord and they said, "Lord, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And we look in the Scofield Bible in the center column, and we look there under footnote Z, and it says the consummation of the age. What's going on this morning? Well, before our very eyes, prophecy is being fulfilled. We have, of course, Caleb and Amanda in our church and the Sneed family. They have a great song saying, "This is our news for today." And you and I, without Fox News, you and I, without CNN or NBC, that we hold in our hand a Bible that literally tells us what's going to be happening in the day that you and I are living in. You say, "What is it, preacher? What's going on today?" Prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. The Bible said in Matthew 24 and verse 7, said, "There shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in the divers places." We see this morning the very fulfillment of that. The word pestilence meaning diseases, viruses, things of that nature, famines in our land, earthquakes. This week we had an earthquake out in Utah amidst all of this. We've had storms to pass through our land. Thank God this week I've heard of no great storms like we had down in Cookeville the other day and in that area in Putnam County. I've heard of nothing like that this week. There were no deaths in the earthquakes in Utah. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God lest you and I would have sorrow up on top of sorrow. The Bible said all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You and I love to look at that, and we like to grab those promises in the Word of God that are good. Those promises of answered prayer, those promises of healed bodies. We like to claim that all those promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But we must also realize all the promises of God for judgment, all the promises of God for prophecy, that all of these are just as much yea and amen as any other part of the Word of God. What's going on? Prophecy is being fulfilled. The Bible said in verse 5 and 6 that deceivers would come and many would be deceived. Not only in the religious realm, but even in political realms we can be deceived. The Bible said there would be wars and rumors of wars in verse number 7. The Bible said at the end of verse number 7, there would be disasters and things take place in the world. But I want you to notice this here. The Bible says in verse 6, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's not the end, folks. The world is not about to end. We're just in the fulfillment of the what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. I believe this has been going on for quite a while, and it's going to continue to escalate. And we're going to see better times, but we're going to see bad times, and this is the way it's going to be until the Lord comes. My little granddaughter, she's about 11 years old, you need to talk to your children during this time, you need to assure them, they need to know that you're trusting God, so that they will know that you're not afraid, that you're not concerned, that you have a trust in God, and that He will take care of you, and that He will take care of me. Our children need to know that we have faith in God. But sometimes it's not us telling our children. Sometimes it's our children telling us. And my phone went off this week, and it was my granddaughter, which they have done this many times all week long. And it's been a blessing because I've seen my son and his family, and they're playing board games, and they're laughing, and they're singing, and they're doing other things. And even though the children say they're bored and they wish things were different, I think deep down in their heart they're enjoying, experiencing something that there hasn't been enough of because of running here and running there. And now God has got everything shut down. Our God is such a powerful God and such a mighty God. You and I have worried about nuclear bombs and nuclear attacks for many years. God doesn't need a nuclear bomb to shut everything down. God can take a little virus, not even able to be seen by the human eye, and bring everything to a screeching halt, that God might fulfill His purpose, whatever it might be. But my phone went off, and I looked, and my granddaughter Memphis was FaceTiming me. When I turned it on, Memphis said, "Pop, I've been watching the news." And she said, "There's fires in Australia." She said, "There's swarms of locusts in Egypt, and we have this virus here." But she said, "Pop," said, "I was reading my Bible today, and I read, Pop, where the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." She said, "Pop, you know, I'm just thinking that if people would just turn to God and get right with God, that God would take care of all of these things." Out of the mouth of babes has God spoke to us today, that you and I, we need to be using this time. Our president called last Sunday for a national day of prayer. We don't need a national day of prayer. Thank God he did that, and we did that here at our church in honor of our president's request. But we need daily praying for God to not only heal our land, but for God to help you and I to be where we need to be with the Lord. It's a good time to draw near to God, and God will draw near to you, and God will draw near to me. What's going on today? Well, perilous times have come. People's faith is being tested. Prophecy is being fulfilled. But I want to say this this morning, that you and I are getting a preview of coming attractions. The Bible said in Revelations 1, the Bible said in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. We know this morning, we know that what we're seeing now is not the tribulation. If you perhaps have heard that or been told that, I can promise you that we are not in the tribulation. Listen, not being able to get a loaf of bread or a 2 gallon of milk instead of one is not the tribulation. You and I are not living in the tribulation. You and I will not go through the tribulation if we're saved. Now, we may have great tribulation in our life. We may have tribulation as we are now before the Lord comes. But I can promise you from the Word of God that you and I as believers in a church will not go through the great tribulation. The Bible said that you and I, we're living in times when God is giving a little preview of coming events. Many of you probably can't remember this. A lot of you older folks can. A lot of our younger folks cannot. But I remember when I was a child, Every now and then my mom and my father would get all of us kids in a car, and we'd go out to the drive-in, and we could drive in there in our car. You'd hang your speaker on the window and watch some kind of a film. And at the middle of that film, they would have what they call intermission. And at that time, you'd go to the concession stand to get popcorn or Cokes or candy bars or whatever you might get. But during that time, they would run across the screen. They would run across a thing that would say previews of coming attractions. And they would show things that was coming up. Well, what God is doing today in the world, He's running across the screen of our minds and our hearts, and this world previews of coming attractions. You and I are not in the great tribulation. We are not going in the great tribulation. But I have seen things this week that reminded me of the way it might be during that time. Thank God I'm not going to be here. I've been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood. I feel His Spirit right now bearing witness inside of me with His Spirit. I may go through hard times, tribulation, troubles, and anguish, but I and you that know the Lord will not go through the great tribulation, and I thank God for that. I've noticed that God's men that know the Lord, God's men that are led by the same Spirit of God, that God's men who read the same book, I've noticed that they come up with a lot of the same things at the same times. I noticed this morning several of the brethren going to the Revelations or Revelation 6 to bring a message to their people this morning. But I want to say this morning that always, if you've ever been to a horse race, a big horse race, they usually run one horse around the track before the rest of them is released. Well, we could say that God is just running some things around the track before the four horsemen that we find in Revelation 6 is released after the removal of God's church. We see there that the Bible says that first of all, that there is in verse 4, there is that red horse that will take peace away from the world. Many people today have lost peace. They're frantic. They're upset. I see people going through drive-thrus at liquor stores and getting liquor and all they can get. And they don't have any peace about what's going on. But I'm glad that Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you." I'm glad the Lord has given us a peace down in our soul. Do at times we get worried, do at times we get nervous, yes. But always that deep, settled peace of God comes back in our heart, and we know that the Lord has given us a peace that the world, the coronavirus, nothing else can take away. And thank God for that peace this morning. And then He talks about the famine and black horse. I went to the grocery store, as all of you did this week, and I went several times and seen empty shelves. I seen almost empty things. It wasn't empty. They're still getting trucks in. Thank God we still can get stuff. But when I saw those nearly bare shelves, and I seen people going in and out of the store, many of them, bless their heart, that need the Lord, and they had markings all over their face and their neck and their arms, and I could see the worried look as they were going in the store, and I thought that's the way it's going to be in tribulation days. The shelves will be empty, and people will have 666 on their forehead or on their hand. But thank God I'm not going to be here during that time. A lady in our church told me she went this week, an elderly lady, to get some things. And there was a man there with one of the buggies there, and he took every gallon of milk out of the milk section and put it in that cart. And he said, She asked him because there was none left, and because he had so many. She said, "Sir," said, "what are you going to do with all that milk?" And he looked back at her and said, "Lady, mind your own business." There was a lady standing there, and she looked and she said, "Oh my," said, "he got all the milk. What am I going to do? How am I going to give my children some milk?" And the man heard her and looked back and went on. That's the kind of thing that you're going to see during tribulation times. It's going to be every man for himself. The love of many will wax cold, even family against family and friends against friends. But thank God this morning that you and I that know the Lord Jesus, that we will not be here during those times, but we are having previews of coming attractions. Amen. What's going on, Brother Rick, this morning? Well, the Bible tells us we're getting previews of coming attractions. If you're not saved, I'll tell you, I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. And if you're not saved, it's a good time to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Let me say one other thing this morning. The Bible said in Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's going on in the world this morning? Well, the promise is being looked for by those of us that know the Lord. Have you whispered John's prayer this week? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Many of us that know the Lord, we've said that. We've said, Lord Jesus, even so, come. Not everyone's looking for Jesus to come. Not everyone wants his return. But if you're saved and know the Lord, you should be desiring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you love his appearing today? If the Lord came today, would you love his appearing like the Apostle Paul said? He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, that righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. Well, we have his word on it. He is coming again. The Bible tells us that. We have the word of God. We have God's word upon that. What a comfort that is in times like this. Let me say this morning that our hope is not for a cure for the Chinese virus, though we pray for a cure. But our hope as believers is for the Lord to come in a time when all diseases are cured and there'll be no sickness, no more pain, and no more sorrow. Amen. Our prayer this morning is not for less deaths, though we pray for less deaths. But our hope this morning is for a time when the last enemy is destroyed and there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain. That is my and your blessed hope this morning, and I say thank God for it. Amen. We're all praying, and I believe it will. I believe that this will soon pass. I believe that in a few weeks it'll be business back as usual. But I believe that we'll continue to see things like this as the beginning of sorrow. We'll begin to see more and more things like this until our Lord comes and takes us out of the world. So we should not expect not to have tribulation. We're going to have it because we're in the world. But be of good cheer. Our Savior has overcome the world. Many are looking for a better world. I'm not looking for a better world this morning. I'm like the lady that lived up in the hills of Tennessee, and she had more children than she had anything else. They were putting a new superhighway through the mountains there, and her children asked to go out and play. And she said, you can go out and play, but said, don't get close to where them men are working. In a little while, the children came back in. One of the little boys, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he was covered with mud, with dirt, with tar. And the lady come and she got him up in his lap, her lap. And she looked at him and she said, Lord, a mercy child. She said, I swear it would be easier for me to have another one than to clean you up. And that's what God's going to do. He's not going to clean up this old world. He's going to give us a brand new one. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I say to you this morning, look up. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your faith in the Word of God. Pray for those that need help. Be their minister in every way you can. And by all means, if you're not saved today and somehow this message finds its way into where that you are this morning, I ask you not to come to this altar because you can't. But I'm glad that there's an altar in the bedroom, the living room, the car, wherever you might be this morning, that there's an altar and you can kneel and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I failed you. Lord, I'm lost. And if I die this way, Lord, I'll go to hell. And if I live this way, one day I'll be in that great tribulation the preacher talked about. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible said, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We trust you'll call upon the Lord and be saved and let somebody know about it. May the Lord bless you this morning. We want you to watch tonight, our live stream tonight at 6 o'clock. May the Lord bless you this morning.